We're ready to begin.
Wow. A brand new Masechet. How do you like that? Okay, so obviously the anomaly of including in Seder Kochim Masechet Chulin, which is the opposite of Kochim, would have to be addressed in the immediate transition between the Masechtes. And as we're going to see, it's immediately evident in our first, even on our initial take, the question of whether the transition of Shechita is actually a transition into Chulin, or is the mocker of the concept of Shechita, even for Kochim, essentially a Chulin concept. And that the Gemara is going to actually be meramis to. But one thing is for sure, that the one thing that unites our Esek in Zvachim and Chulin is basically the way that the Gemara refers to Zvachim as Shechitas Kochim and Chulin as Shechitas Chulin. So that aspect of Shechita is the thing that integrates Chulin and Kochim, and we have to treat the behemoths in the same way. And that means that we're going to see that there's some issues that are crossovers between the two elements of Kochim and Chulin as we go along, right here, Mamish, right at the beginning. Now, I'd like to just analyze this Mishnah so we get a clear sense of what exactly the issues are in the Mishnah, because otherwise the Gemara can seem very complicated. But the truth is, it's a very straightforward Gemara that's coming to try to explain the various elements in the Mishnah. So let's take a look at the strange language. Hakol shochatim. So that seems to be adding some particular cases that we would think are actually not kosher, and the Mishnah is insisting even those things are kosher, because otherwise there's no point in saying hakol, which is clearly an inclusive statement. We're going to have to figure out who that is coming to be marba that I otherwise would have thought would not be able to shecht. But then the strange thing is that the Mishnah continues on to say, Ushchitan kshera. I mean, obviously, shchitatan is kosher if we're telling you hakol. I mean, it doesn't make even any sense. Unless there's a difference between hakol shochatim, which means b'chatchila, without any problem, and shchitatan kshera means only b'diavad, but we would prefer that they wouldn't shecht mi'ikrad din. Now, that would mean that we're going to have to analyze the Mishnah in such a way that we could be referring to certain things that were marba from the hakol, and we're referring to other things, or maybe variations on the theme of the hakol, which would tell us that shchitatan sometimes is only kosher b'diavad. So now the question is, what is the extra things that were being marba, and under what circumstances is it only kosher b'diavad? So you see immediately that we're going to have to, in parsing the Mishnah, we're going to have our hands full to try to figure out how these two things go together. That there should be a category of things that were being marbe, and nonetheless, we're saying that it's not under any all circumstances, and only sometimes would it be upfront at koshochtim, and sometimes shchitas kshera. But under all circumstances, the only thing that would not be included is chutz micheresh shote v'katan shema yekalkulu et shchitatan. So now, this is a very problematic statement, because shema yekalkulu doesn't mean that kilkalu or anything like that. It says, hakol shochatim, so is this telling me chutz micheresh shote v'katan is only referring to the first part? Hakol shochatim, chutz micheresh shote v'katan. So that would mean that everything else is a lechatchila. The problem is, if everything else is a lechatchila, and the cheresh shote v'katan is the only thing that we're saying, well, it's not good lechatchila, because maybe they will be mekalkel der shchita. Doesn't say maybe they were mekalkel der shchita, which is strange. If we think maybe they will be mekalkel, then why aren't we worried maybe they did mekalkel? So how do we handle that? So that we're going to have to explain. And then when the Mishnah continues to say, v'chulam sheshachatu, who are the v'chulam? Are the v'chulam b'cheresh shayta v'katan? So then it should just say that chutz b'cheresh shayta v'katan, but even cheresh shayta v'katan, im shachatu, v'acherim ro'inotam, and other people would actually have seen the shchita was done properly, then shchitatan kshira. So, as you can see, if we're throwing in the words of a Kulan, then we seem to be going back on the cases of Shchitas and Keshera. That when we're talking about Hakol Shochatim, in those cases where we don't say the Chatchila they can shecht, then even then it's only Bidiavad, but if Achirim Reinasan, then Shchitatan Keshera. But the problem is in that it's also a contradiction in terms, because you said Shchitatan Kshira up front, which means Bidiavad, without this additional issue of Achirim Reinasan. So now we've got three different issues. We've got things which are Shechtu L'Chatchila, nobody, no Tinaim, nobody's got to see it, everything's A-OK. Then we've got the second consideration of Shchitatan is only Kshira Bidiavad. And now we're talking about of things that are Shchitatan Kshera, but we wouldn't accept that it's Kshera unless Achirim Roinotan. So now we've got three completely different categories over here, and we're going to have to explain how the Mishnah smoothly transitions between these things. And this is very challenging. The Gemara is going to attempt quite a few approaches to this, and actually most of them break down on one of the other issues. So you could see what the challenge is if you keep in mind that we're simply going through all types of different approaches to what fits Hakol Shochtim, what fits the particular circumstances in which, instead of it being Hakol Shochtim up front, the Shechita would be kosher without further ado in the event that it was Bidiavad, and what things would be kosher Bidiavad only in the event that others see them. So, whoa. But that accounts for the complications in the Gemara to come. If you keep in mind that we're simply trying to fill three different requirements in the Mishnah, then everything will work out okay. Yes, Alon.
Three cases in the Mishnah or four cases in the Mishnah? There's three cases, and there's an extra addition to a third case. We don't know which one it is, or there are four cases?
We have one case of Hakol Shochtim. We don't know what the Hakol is marba. It's even Lechatchila. We have another case of only in certain circumstances are they shochtim up front, but there's a case where it's only bidiavad, shchitan kshira. But that bidiavad is without further ado. We don't need anybody seeing it, right? It's just kosher. We would have preferred it wouldn't be that way. But there's a circumstance in which even though it's bidiavad, it's kosher without needing anyone to look over it. Then we've got the other consideration of who the v'chulan is referring to, because the v'chulan can't be referring only to the cherishot of a katan. If it were only referring to cherishot of a katan, then fine, okay, then I would say that there is one case, namely cherishot of a katan, where we're afraid that they mess things up, and therefore we need someone to see them. But the problem is, the Mishnah doesn't say, at im shachatu, that if the cherishot of a katan shechted, but others see it, it's kosher. That's not what it says. Instead, it uses the word and all of the above. So who's the all of the above? That's a contradiction in terms. You first said that even in the worst cases, the ones that are only kosher bidiavad, but they are kosher bidiavad. And now you're saying, no, they're only kosher bidiavad if somebody saw it. So then we've got three completely different madregas besides the cherishot of a katan issue, you see? So we have to fit a way that the Mishnah will actually incorporate these three completely different dargas. So first we point out the obvious contradiction, that if you say Hakol Shochatin, then you seem clearly to be saying that you can do this up front. Anybody can come along and shach. That means Lechatchila. And then you say Shchitatan Kshira, which means, well, I mean, it's obvious if you're telling me people can check that the Shechita is kosher, right? So it's ridiculous. So you're saying Shechita Tan Kshira, you've got to be referring to a case where people that really shouldn't be shechting Lechatchila, but if they do shecht, then it is kosher. So that's another category, obviously. So it can't be the same category, because otherwise we have a contradiction. Because first you say Hakol Shochatim Lechatchila, and then you say Shechita Tan Kshira Diavad. Now, before we go further, the Gemara wants first to make certain that you understand why Hakol Shochatim and Shchitas on Keshera is a contradiction, right? Well, up front, you would understand. Well, if it says Echo Shochtin, then obviously Shchitas or Kishera, why would you be repeating it? But that's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara said it's a contradiction in terms. It said Akor Shochatim, that means it's Lechatchila. And then Shchitas and Kshera, the way that you say it, that it's only kosher, is a term that means, well, if it happened, it's kosher, but it shouldn't have happened, right? Now the Gemara is going to question whether the terminology actually is contradictory. Because the truth is, the terminology is not what's contradictory. It's the fact that you put these two things together that make them contradictory, as the Gemara is going to work out. But it wants you to understand clearly, in a general sense, that the terminology of doing something up front, Hakol Shochatim, does not necessarily mean that you're allowed to do it up front and that it's lechatchila to do it up front. So it's going to challenge the terminology. But obviously, any of us reading the Mishnah understand that, because otherwise it's sort of ridiculous to tell me that anyone can shecht. Oh, and by the way, if they shecht, you can actually eat it. So like, what are we talking about? Anybody can shecht, meaning what? You know, anybody can shecht for dog food. I mean, what do we need people to shecht for dog food for? So it's obviously a contradiction, right? Our only concern is with the fact that the Gemara made it a contradiction in terms. That's the problem. And is it a contradiction in terms? That's our first question. Yes, Daniel.
Is there a difference between a kosher chatin, which stresses the who is doing shchita, and shchitatam shchera, the nature of shchita itself?
No.
No,
it would just be referring to whether the shchita was effective. Okay. Anyway, so you're Gemara again. So the Gemara claims up front that it's a contradiction in terms. At least that's what it seems to be saying. Hakol shochatim, doesn't that mean lechatchila? And then you say shchita kshira, doesn't that mean b'diavad? Wait a minute. Why do you say that it's a contradiction in terms? Are you telling me that we can't use the word hakol x on a particular thing to mean that it's only b'diavad? I mean, are you claiming that the word hakol always means lechatchila? That hakol do this, it means lechatchila? I mean, what do you do with the Mishnah that opens up Masechet Tmura? Hakol me mirin, everybody can make a Tmura. Echad anashim, the echad anashim. What are you going to try to tell me? That means lechatchila? I mean, if you make a Tmura, you're going to be chayav malchus. It's an iser d'oraisa. What do you mean lechatchila? That's absurd. So obviously, we're ready to use the word hakol, even to tell me that something that shouldn't be done, but the point is that if it's done, it's done, right? That's all. So then that would mean maybe the same thing over here. If you told me, hakol me mirin, which means not that you should or that you're allowed to, it just means if it's done, then it took place. So the same thing here, hakol shochatim, if you shechted, so then it's a shechita. Maybe that's what it means, and then it's not a contradiction in terms. Otherwise, how do you understand the Mishnah in Temura? Hakol me mirin, echad anashim ve'echad anashim. So what are you going to try to tell me? That means lechatchila? You can go ahead and make a Temura? I mean, it's an issue d'oraita. The octave, lo yachlifen ve'lo yomir oto. Tov bara o ra betov. So where do you get the idea of the terminology? No, that's totally different. Look, over there, the Mishnah itself clarifies that the meaning is completely different than what you thought. In order for you not to make the mistake of thinking that I mean to use the word that you're allowed to do it, I simply mean when I say Akol Meimirin that it is achievable by anyone. That's all that it means, not that it's right to achieve it. So Akol Meimirin, it clarifies that it doesn't mean Lechatchila, because Kirikani Taima, the Mishnah clarifies itself. Hey, immediately it says this. That doesn't mean, hey, listen here, reader, that doesn't mean Sha'adam Rishai Lahamir. It means Hakol Meimirin, that they are capable of creating a Temura. Lo Sha'adam Rishai Lahamir, Ela She'im Emir Mumar. Obviously, it's going to be Chai Malkas. Sofik is Harboyim. So it simply is coming to tell me that it's possible to achieve a Temura, and therefore, I say, anybody can do that. Okay, so over there, the Gemara says, all right, so what do you mean anybody? Well, let's say the person is a Yoresh. It's not even his carbon. He inherited it. His father died, left him a carbon. That Yoresh is capable of creating a Temura, and that's all that we mean. We're not trying to tell you that you're allowed to do it, so we clarify. But it doesn't say that over here, does it? doesn't say in our Mishnah that, well, you can't actually do it up front, but there are cases with, no, it just uses terminology that seems to be contradictory. So without this additional clarification in the Mishnah, which says, I don't mean l'chatchila, then apparently I do mean l'chatchila with the word hakol. So we could still claim it's a contradiction in terms, can't we? Well, okay, fine. In that Mishnah, you could claim that. But how about this? Hakol ma'arichin. Anybody can be ma'arich and anybody can be ne'erach. So remember what ma'arichin means is that there are two ways of donating money to the Beis HaMikdash, which are based on evaluating in a certain way a person. That person could be yourself, could be somebody else. One of them is called domim, and one of them is called erichin. Domim means you promise the Beis HaMikdash your or somebody else's market value as an eved. So that's domim, that's what it is that you are worth. In order to do that, you'd have to make a neder that says, domi alai, or domei so-and-so alai. And at that point, you become a chuyev what that person would be worth. The other way is to say erechi alai or erech ploni alai. Now, the erechin, you'll recall, is the entire parsha that we're reaching now in the Bahar B'chukosai, and that tells us that there's a special value that's assigned entirely according to sex and age. It has nothing to do with your value on the open market. You may have zero value on the open market because you are a total wreck, but nonetheless, if you're alive and you are of that age and you are of that sex, then you do have an erech. The opposite could also be true, where you have a domim, but you don't have an erech. For instance, let's say you're less than 30 days old. So if you're less than 30 days old and somebody says, the erech of this infant is a lie, he's not high of anything because there is no erech of an infant that's less than 30 days. But if somebody says the domim of this infant, certainly infants have a market value. There's lots of people ready to pay for infants and keep them until they're ready to work for them and so on. So it means there's two totally different ways. So one is called ma'arichin and the other one is called nodrin. Then the object of the erech is called ne'erachin and the object of the domim is called the nidorim. Right? It's okay. So anyone could be ma'arich or ne'erach, and over there also we learn all kinds of things from the hakol. What is it referring to? Who is the hakol? And obviously a point over there, in the hakol ma'arichin, we learn that it's coming to tell me the halacha of even a katan if he's over the age of 12 years. So that he's a mufla somach le'ish, and he knows what the concept of neder is. Even he can be ma'arich, and we can also use the idea of ne'erach in his achidesh, even if they don't have any value, because they're in terrible state. Maybe the person's a mukashrin. Nobody wants to even get in close to him, and he's falling apart. But nonetheless, that doesn't affect erechin. And the same thing is true about the nidorim. So if you say domi, so domei ploni, it would be even if he's less than 30 days old, he would still be a domi. Okay, that's for the sugya over there. But what's important to us is that the use of the word hakol, which according to you is a term. You're claiming it's a term that means l'chatchila. And it cannot mean l'chatchila in that Mishnah. Why not? Are you going to claim it means l'chatchila? Doesn't it say in the Torah, v'aktiv, v'chi techtal lindor lo yebuchachet? If you don't make any nadarim, then you're not going to have a sin, which is mashma. But if you do make nadarim, you're going to be sinning because the Torah doesn't want you making nadarim. Even if it's for a mitzvah, and you're giving tzedakah, and you're giving it to Beis HaMikdash. Isn't that what the pasuk seems to be saying? So how could the Mishnah say hakol, meaning that this is okay to do l'chatchila, if it is not? It's a violation of the mitzvah in the Torah. And then there's also another pasuk, which implies, this is the pasuk in Kohelet, that says that the tova shelo tidor, misha tidor, velo tishalem. It's better. Now, Rashi understands the lima to be like this, that the tov asher lo tidor is a continuation of the pasuk es asher tidor shalem. Tova shelo tidor, mishi tidor velo tishalem. So if it says lechatchila, the first part of the pasuk is that the asher tidor shalem, and nonetheless it follows by saying, but it would be better asher lo tidor, even if you are going to be mishalem, because we're afraid maybe you won't be mishalem, so better not to be noder at all. So if that's the case, at least this is the way Rabbi Meir understands it, v'tanya, tov mizeh mizeh she'enu noder kol ikar, which implies it's better not to make any kind of nedarim. Why take a chance? So why would the Mishnah say, go ahead, hakol marichin, hakol nodrin? No, go ahead. Rabbi Meir says, don't go ahead. And even Rabbi Yehuda, who understands the pasuk to mean that tov mizeh mizeh noder mishalem, well, look, if you know that this is what you're going to keep your neder, and this is the normal thing to do, tova shelo tidor, to take a chance, that we're going to see how he explains that you're not even taking a chance. If you're not going to be taking a chance, then it would be very nice for you to actually be neder money. But how could you be neder money if you're not, how could you not be taking a chance? So that's the point. Rabbi Yehuda never said, make a neder. And the words noder o mishalem are actually misrepresentation of Rabbi Yehuda. It should not say noder o mishalem. It should say nodev o mishalem. Because afilu Rabbi Yehuda lo karmer al aba omer harezo. The way to avoid a problem is, as Hillel HaZaken, basically the same type of idea, make certain that you can't go wrong. So, okay, if you take, not upon yourself, neder takes upon yourself. If you make an animal a nedava, so don't you take anything on yourself. This animal is an oila. If anything happens to it, that's not your problem. So if that's the case, if you would say, haray, a lie means I take it upon myself. So then you're not allowed to. If that's the case, then the terminology of hakol is obviously neither according to Rabbi Meir, nor according to Rabbi Yehuda, it does not mean to do something like chatchila. So I don't understand why you set up this whole mission as if it's a big problem, because it's a contradiction in terms. Notice that word, a contradiction in terms. It's not a contradiction in terms. The terminology is perfectly okay, because the hakol can mean b'diavad as well. But wait a minute. Don't you acknowledge the fact that hakol could certainly mean l'chatchila, no? Are you saying no hakol is l'chatchila? Now, obviously, nobody suggested that. But the point is, once again, the Gemara wants to clarify on both directions. It wasn't about the terminology. The terminology could be effective no matter what. So in order to do that, it wants to make clear to you that the actual terminology of hakol is applicable in either case, and therefore it's an opaque terminology, which is not going to cause the problem here. It's important for us to get to the bottom of that, and then we can examine what our problem is with the Mishnah. So you're trying to tell me that hakol does not mean lechatchila? I mean, what about, the Mishnah says hakol chayovim besukah, hakol chayovim betzitzis. I mean, what are you telling? You're not supposed to lechatchila put on tzitzis. You're not supposed to sit in a sukkah. Hokanami lav lechatchila? Oh, come on, that's not fair. That's chayovim. Obviously, chayovim. What do you think? I'm stupid. I mean, if you say hakol chayovim, how could it possibly not be lechatchila? That's asking out of left field. So that's certainly, I mean, I never address chayovim. Chayovim lo kamina. Okay, fine. So I won't ask from chayovim. How about hakol somchim? Now, there is no such Mishnah of hakol somchim echad ha-nashim ve-echad ha-nashim, because actually nashim do not do smicha. So somebody got sort of messed up over here in the girsa. But in any event, it does say hakol somchim. So what about that? You're telling me it's not l'chatchila. I mean, it says v'samach yado v'nirtza. So obviously, you have to be samach. So, yes, of course. In the ika kol l'chatchila, ika kol diavad. So now, let's drop what we were thinking. We're not talking about a contradiction in terms. We're talking about a contradiction in implications is what we're talking about. So therefore, the Gemara puts it this way. So then, why did you say that it's a contradiction just because it says hakol? I mean, what are you making problems for? You're making problems by assuming that hakol meant lechatchila? It doesn't mean lechatchila, maybe, right? Maybe it only means b'diavad, and then you don't have a contradiction. Omar Lay, I never said it was a contradiction in terms. I used the terms as the contradiction because I thought you had brains. If Hakol is opaque, and it could mean either way. So you tell me, okay, you read the Mishnah, and you tell me what it means when it says Hakol Shochtim, and then it says Shchita Asur Ksheira. I mean, it obviously is not telling me that I'm telling you to shecht, but then you can only use it for dog food. I don't need Shchita for dog food, right? So therefore, if you say that the Lashon of Lechatchila is the Lashon of Hakol is b'diavad, like you're suggesting, and then we don't have a stira, so then we have worse than a stira. Why are we saying Shchitas and Kshera? Why mention Shchitas and Kshera? If you're saying Shchitas and Kshera, so you're obviously saying, if he shechted, it's kosher. So that is certainly mashma, only if he shechted, you're kosher. But then I certainly don't need to mention Hakol Shochtin, that if you shechted, it's kosher. So if the second part of the Mishnah is telling me if you shechted, it's kosher, then the first part of the Mishnah has got to be telling me there are cases where it's not an if, where it's just go ahead and shecht, right? So that means the opening Hakol is l'chatchila. If the opening Hakol is also b'diavad, why do I need two cases of b'diavad? You could just tell me Hakol Shochtin, and I will figure out all of the cases of b'diavad, you know? But obviously, you're trying to tell me there's two different things. There are cases where there's no problem, and then there's cases where we have to modify the details to make it a problem in the event. So what would that be? Omar Rabba Barula, okay, I have a suggestion as to what that might be. I say, maybe it means this. Look, since we're talking over here about the transition between Kotshim and Chulin, right? That we take for granted, that this is the transitional Mishnah. So here's what I suggest. Maybe what it means is like this. Hakol Shochatim, and that comes to tell me that when it comes to Chulin, anybody can shecht. Even someone who's Tame, which we just finished Mesechet Zvachim, that's Shchitas Kotshim, remember? And this is Shchitas Chulin. So in Shchitas Kotshim, somebody who's Tame can't shecht. So that's maybe what it's saying, that if you're Tame, you can shecht if it comes to Chulin. Chulin? What the heck? Chulin, Milo Mimra, I understand. Of course you can shecht. There's no din of Tuma on Chulin. What do we care if it's Tame? Yisroel is not Muzhar on Chulin. Ah, the Kiddush of the Mishnah is that we're talking about Chulin Shinasu Altaras HaKedesh. And the Tana holds that Chulin Shinasu Altaras HaKedesh. If you commit yourself that you are going to be eating everything as if it's Kodesh. This is a guy who is often exposed to Kotshim. He wants to get used to being very careful about the dinim of Kotshim. So he says, I am going to eat only things that would be tar if they would be kodesh. So even though this is chulin, it's going to gain the sensitivity of the isurim of tumah and kabbalah's tumah, even though normally it wouldn't be makabal tumah, and so on and so forth. This we had a number of times is a machlokas, whether an individual can create a state mid rabbanan, where the Rabbanan would be mechayev him to observe that state. And if this is what he wants, then he wouldn't be allowed to shecht. That's what you would think, because if he's going to shecht, maybe he's going to touch the animal and it'll become tummy, and he's not allowed to be metummy. And if you hold chulin shenasu ataras hakodesh, is kekodesh tummy. Well, so now you're telling me he can? How? How can he? Well, it's very simple. Ketzad hu oseh. You bring a 10-foot long knife, you know, and that way you don't get anywhere near the animal. So you're not going to touch the animal. So you're maving a sakina rucha, and that way you can shecht, because you don't get near the animal. Kidei shelo yiga bebasar. So what's the chiddush over here by Tamei Bechulin? Ah, that's the continuation. The continuation of the Mishnah is that there's cases where it would only be b'diavad. Well, what's that? Mukdashim. If it was really Kodesh. Say if it was Chulin Shenasu Altaras HaKodesh, Hakol Shochatim. If it's actual Kodesh, then no, don't do that. We don't trust you not to touch the animal, even though you've got a long knife. But what if you did? Oh, if you did, then the Shechita would be kosher, if you're quite certain that there was no Negiah in the Basar. So, Im Shachat V'Amar, Bori Li Shalona Gati. So then the Shechita is kosher. Now, continues the Mishnah, except for a chera shayt of a katan, going back to the chulin, because even when it comes to chulin, we wouldn't want them to be touching regular chulin, even chulin that's not al taras hakodesh. Afilu b'chulin grede, only b'di avad, they would maybe find a case if other people saw it, but even the avad, if it was just them that shechted, it would not be kosher. Why? Shema Yishu, Shema Yidrasu, Shema Yachalidu. So here is our first meeting up with the concepts of Shechita. And we're going to see that there are five fundamental dinim that are Nogea Shechita. And these are three of them. We'll talk about in a moment why we don't talk about the rest of them. We are nervous about Shehiya. So keep that in mind. Your first psul is Shehiya. The second psul mentioned here is Drisa, Shema Yidrisu. And the third psul is Chalada. So we're now meeting our first three concepts of Shechita. And what are they? How do we understand these things? Well, the first one we're going through from the way that it's presented here in the Mishnah is that we're nervous specifically about these three things. They are Shehiya. Shehiya means you started shechting and you stop in the middle of your Shechita. But you stop without completing the act of Shechita until sometime later. We're going to talk about exactly how much time is considered to be a Shehiya. But if you stop for a moment in the middle of your Shechita, then the first part of the Shechita is disconnected from the second part of the Shechita, and it was an act of treifas. Because if you only cut through part of the simanim that require cutting for Shechita, you created a treifa. And now when you continue shechting, it's too late, buddy, to make this into a shechita. You now have basically a non-shechita. First part wasn't a shechita, the second part isn't a shechita. So that is called shehiya. It simply means lishot, that you took too much time. The next one is drisa. Drisa means that you put too much pressure, downward pressure, on the knife, so that what you're doing is you're being dores, you're pressing instead of cutting. And that's a completely different way of getting through the trachea and the esophagus. If you're going to press down on them, then that has a completely different impact on a molecular level than moving the sakin back and forth, gently separating between whatever is holding the different molecules together. And because of that, the derech of shechita, as we're going to see, is only a movement back and forth of the sakin, a horizontal movement that can be coupled with a vertical down movement. We'll talk about how much later, what's the actual proportion of the downward force to the sideways force. All of that is going to come out later in the Gemara. But right now, if you do a drisa, which there's too much downward force, then you didn't cut. You actually pressed. And pressing is not a shechita. So that's the second problem, is drisa. The third problem is chalada. Chalada is a bit of a complex issue that we'll see the details of later. But essentially, it comes from the same word as a chulda, which is a mole. So that means you've burrowed. These are animals that burrow. So chalada is you've burrowed beneath the area that you should have cut. So this could mean you're cutting from the bottom up. It could mean that there's skin that you punctured from the side, and now you're cutting down on the simanim without actually cutting through the flesh. So the operation of the shechita is hidden because it's like a modern surgery. We don't want to cut the surface, but that's not a kosher shechita. So it's that type of thing. We'll see there's many, many variants of the idea of chalada, which we're going to have later on. And for some reason, as Tosis points out, we are leaving out the ideas of the other two. The other two are hagrama and ikur. Now, Tosis asks, why do we only say we're chayshesh for these three things? Why aren't we chayshesh for all five things? So this is the first time that we're going to have all of the five things together, which include hagrama v'ikur. So the hagrama means that the cutting was done either below or above the particular specific area that is kosher for shechita. And we're going to learn all about that later on. At what point is the siman roi for shechita, and at what point is it too low and it becomes part of the bronchi, where it becomes part of the actual larynx. All of these things we're going to be talking about later on. And the area that's kosher would have to be the specific area in between. So if somebody goes out of that area, even partially, hagrama, so it means you cut at an angle that takes you out of the correct area, that's also psul. And ikur would mean that the simanim themselves have become detached, possibly because of pressure. They've become detached, or maybe you were nervous and you held them up in order to make sure that you were cutting them properly. And then you can look down and you see that there is a tear at the place where they are connected to the lung, where the esophagus connects to the stomach. We'll see precisely what areas is considered to be ikur. And therefore, that's the simple ikur. And then we have more complex getter of ikur. And that ikur, which Tosis worries about, is the ikur that comes from a notch in the knife. If there's a notch in the knife, then the area of skin that gets caught in that notch, even if it's a tiny notch, but it's enough to catch your skin, which is why the shechet will check it on his nail and on his skin, if it's enough to catch a little bit of the tissue, then that part of the tissue is ripped. And the rip, even in that small area, is enough to pass the shechita. So there's two completely different elements of ikur, which we'll be talking about. So Tosis' answer is that the reason the Gemara ignores hagrama and ikur is because an examination, and even a cursory examination, will immediately tell you that the hagrama, you'll see where it's cut. If you see it's not cut in a place that's kosher for shechita, that'd be obviously, it's not going to be something we need to worry about, the cheresh shait of the katan, if after all, nobody could possibly fall for a shechita that's a hagrama, because they won't call that for a shechita. So there shouldn't be any problem. But and the other one is the ikur, we'll also see. The problem is, why are we saying that the cheresh shait of a katan shouldn't be shechet? See, if you read the Mishnah without the lushan of osid, shema yishu, shema yachalidu, but rather shema shahu, shema choldu, and so on. So then I understand that it makes a difference. Because if the problem is, we don't know what happened, and that's why we need acherim ro'imotam, and they'll be able to tell us what happened, that makes sense. But if the problem is, maybe, we don't want to give them something because they're going to screw it up. What's so bad if they screw it up? So they'll screw it up if we can see it. So if the problem is that they may actually ruin it and we don't want it ruined, and so then what difference would it make if we can tell? You see? So somewhere or other, we're going to have to deal with this issue, which the Gemara will talk about later when we talk about the Lashon Atid or the Lashon Avar. Okay, but in any event, we now understand, this was a little bit of a tangent, we now understand the five essential dinim of shechita, and we now understand why it is that you cannot trust someone without das to be able to shech, because he has to be completely connected and aware of what he's doing. And a cheresh shechet of a katan, if they lose concentration, they don't have proper kavana, and they're not thinking properly of what they're doing, then they could easily make a mistake that we wouldn't know about ex post facto. And that's why we're saying if other people see them, that it would be okay. So that part is understandable. But now we still have the third part that we have to explain. The third part in the Mishnah was, what is the meaning of v'kulam imacherim ro'imotam? So that's obviously referring yet to a third situation where the bidyavad is not kosher unless somebody sees them. Okay, I mean, so far I understand that that is a third situation, but only for cheresh shait v'katan. The problem is, if it's really referring to the cheresh shait v'katan, why would the Gemara, the Mishnah, use the word v'chulam? Which, who are the v'chulam? The cheresh shait v'katan is what it is that you're discussing right now, right? So if it's what you're discussing, then you should say, Im shachatu v'achem ro'im otam. That's all. What's this v'chulam? So that means we have another riboy, additional hakol. The v'chulam is another hakol. So what do we mean when we say and all? Who are the all? Can't be the Chereshet V'katan. Who are the all? It can't be the Hakol Shoftim, because they are the ones that can shecht, and originally we don't need anything for them. It can't be the Shechitatam K'shera, because we've already defined that the Shechitatam K'shera, in this case, is sufficient if they just simply say, listen, I'm sure I didn't touch that animal. It's not Tame, right? So that's not going to be the problem. So who is it? It's got to be yet including another case. What the heck? Where is there another case over here? So what's it referring to? It can't be referring to, says the Gemara, hey, what's it talking about? Do you think it's referring to the Chereshet V'katan? Alokoi? Now, this word alokoi, I'm going to take it in its Tosfos's way of understanding it, and I'll explain to you Rashi's way of understanding it. So if we're talking about the Chereshet V'katan directly, alokoi, and that's the only cases that are being referred to when we say that kulam sheshachatu v'achem reinai samar ksherim, why would we say kulam? We should simply say im shachatu. We just said, chereshet v'katan, they're not. But if, achem roim otam, then yes. But we don't say if. We say, and all of the above, which obviously is adding something to the chereshet v'katan. Well, who is it adding? Is it adding the case of the guy who was tameh b'chulin? We said he can shecht even l'chadchila. That's the hakol, so can't be talking about him. We don't need anybody to see him. Ella, so what's it talking about? The only other case in the Mishnah was the case of the tamei b'mukdashim. But we said that the tamei b'mukdashim is kosher b'diavad as long as he can say, I'm sure that I didn't touch, right? So now, what is this new case of the kulam that requires someone else outside objective to tell me that everything was done properly? How do you explain that? Didn't we say babari lisagi? Yes. But gentlemen, don't you understand that if you make something dependent on a guy who says barili, what happens if the guy's not here anymore? He did the shechita, and then he took off on the next flight to Timbuktu. I mean, how are we supposed to know if the shechita is kosher? I mean, the Mishnah immediately raises that issue in your mind. I mean, like, what do you mean it's kosher? How are we going to find out? Oh, we don't really need him. Even that case that said that he needed to say Barili is good enough the same way that it's good enough for the Chereshet V'katan to have someone objective to look and say, listen, we saw that he didn't touch it. Or the case of the Chereshet V'katan, we saw that they didn't do any of these psulim of Yidrisu or Yachlidu or Yishu. They didn't do that, so it's not a problem. And therefore, everything seems to be fine in a case of the late kamanda nishayle. If he's not around to be asked, obviously the Mishnah has to address that, so that throws in the word v'kulam to address. Okay, so now we have all of the three cases in the Mishnah properly addressed. Hakol Shoftim is telling us a big chiddush. You don't have to worry about touching the animal accidentally if you're using a long knife, and it's only a case of chulin shenasu al tairas hakodesh. Shritasan kshera, you do have to worry about touching the animal if you're talking about kachim in the same case. However, bidiavad, if you're quite certain that it wasn't touched, so then it's kosher. Vikulam, if we said kulam sheshachtu v'achem ro'im otam, that means even the Chereshet V'katan, who cannot testify about themselves, and in the previous case of the guy who was supposed to tell us, I'm quite certain I didn't touch, but he went to catch his flight instead of telling us, is still able to be treated as if it's chulin that is tahar, because if somebody else saw it, we rely on the objective person who saw it. And that's the whole Mishnah addressing all three variations. And so that's how I would suggest understanding the Mishnah. And this is our first approach to giving a pshat in the Mishnah. So this is Rabba Bar Ula's approach to Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi said, look, I see that we've got a problem in the Mishnah because of these variations. Rabba Bar Ula addresses Rav Ashi. Now, the interesting thing is, as Tosis points out, over here, this is so weird, because Rav Ashi never said a word. Understand, the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara, nobody said that question up front in the Gemara. Hakol shachtim is a chatchila. Shritasun ksheira is b'diavad. Did it say iksha Rav Ashi? No. And now all of a sudden Rav Ashi comes along and he explains, well, I'll tell you what my question is. Hey, we weren't talking to you. What do you mean what your question was? You're trying to tell me what the Gemara's question was? And now we have the apshat that is Rabba Barula is going to tell Rav Ashi what the question was? The Tosfos says, ha-ha, what do you see from here? That Rav Ashi was the one who wrote the Gemara. So that even though we have people that were later than Rav Ashi, like, let's say, Abaya and Rava, let's say, right? So they, later on, they're going to come along, but they were much before Rav Ashi. And how, if Rav Ashi asked the question, how was it that they were the ones that were giving pshatim? It could be that it was a long-standing kasha, but if we're talking about the way that the Gemara is written, then we're going to discuss it with Rav Ashi, because he's the one that messed up writing it this way by saying it as if it was a kasha. Very sweet. So now it's a very interesting side point over here in the sugya, right? Are we all excited? Or what's going on over here? A bunch of bored people? This is like great stuff, man. Oh, gosh. Okay, so now we've got ourselves one pshat, our first pshat that covers all three cases in the clearly implicated in the Mishnah. The first pshat is by Rabba Bar Ula. But wait, says the Gemara, Tamei b'mugdashim, you're telling me that the case of Shchitasun Ksheira is the case of Tamei b'mugdashim, but that was in the Mishnah in Zvachim. Wait a second, it says, Kol apsulim sheshachatu shchitatam ksheira. Remember this nice Mishnah from Zvachim? Shchitatam ksheira, sheshchita ksheira bezorim, benoshim, ba'avodim, ubetmeim, va'afilu bekachekachim, ubevad shelo yutmeim nogim bebasar. So I understand, why do I need a Mishnah over here in Chulin telling me what a Beferish Mishnah in Zvachim said? As long as they didn't touch the basar, it says that if they shechted with a sakin arukah, so it would be kosher. So you're telling me I'm doing all of this drakup of forcing people to figure out who the ksherim was and which similar case would be only b'diavad, and one is chulin and one is kosher. What am I going to talk about the kachim if that's a Beferish Mishnah? That doesn't make sense. So here is where we get to the two different approaches to the interrelationship of Shchitas Kochim with Shchitas Chulin. Hocha Iker. Here in Chulin is actually the main place where we need to deal with the dinim of Shchita. And therefore, it has to be said over here. The only reason that we bring it up in Zvachim is because in Zvachim we were talking about things that are Nogea Dafka Kochim, such as whatever, Zorim, and we can't talk about Zorim, can we? We can't even talk about Noshim, because there's no psul of Shchita by Noshim. So therefore, okay, there we had to talk about that. Once we talk about that, we talk about Tameh. But those things that are applicable to Chulin, the main place to discuss the dinim of Shchita is in Chulin, not in Kochim. And therefore, don't ask me why it's said over here. This is the main place where it's said. Ask me why it's said in Zvachim. Oh, over there it's obvious why it's said. Because since we needed to be talking about all of these other psulim, hasam aydi de tani shar psulim, tani nami tame b'mukdashim. Because of that, we also mentioned the din of tuma b'mukdashim. That's one approach. But there's another approach. And these Ebayit Emas are mutually exclusive according to different Mandiyamrim, as we'll see. They're not Stam alternatives. Pick your choice. It's not pick your choice. It's either one or the other. So Ebayit Ema, Hatam Iker, the Dinim of Kachim, are where we're worried about the concept of Tuma. And therefore, the Iker discussion over here belongs, in fact, in Kachim. But the point over here is that once we needed to talk about a concept of Tamei Bechulin, to talk about the din of Chulin Shenatzar al Teiras HaKedesh, which of course is the other issue that bridges Kachim and Chulin. Can you turn Chulin into Kachim by a simple commitment that it is so, you see? So then that means the two central things that branch and bridge Chulin and Kachim come together immediately on the first page of Chulin. What are those two things? Shechita and Chulin Shenatzar al Teiras HaKedesh. It's brilliant, man. So Rav Ashi has done an amazing job of actually creating this first opening daf, throwing you in to learn how to swim right into the deep waters, getting all of the psulim of Shechita all in one place, and forcing you to recognize the interrelationship between Chulin and Kachim on two levels. So V'ibay Seima, the other way to look at it is actually Hasamika, to be Kachim Koi. But Ocha Aydi, the Tani Tomei B'Chulin Tani Nami Tomei B'Mukdashim. Beautiful. Okay, guys, come on. That was a very, very exciting opening daf, and we finished just in time. And that's lovely. I hope I remember to press. I think I forgot to press the MP3. No, we're okay. All right, everybody. Have a wonderful night. Put that in your pipe and chew and smoke it. Or chew on it. Because that is a distillation of many decades of learning this Mishnah. All right. So.
Thank you, Rabbi.
A pleasure. Shavuot tov. Shavuot tov. Go to Vinayel Yeshua TF Tach for Lo Efchad.